We're continuing in our Real series. Now, the purpose of this series is to explore together the biblical teachings that actually help us discover God as real in our life. So we've been looking at worship, we've been looking at scripture, and we've been looking at some practices that actually take the invisible, powerful qualities of God that we can't touch, we can't smell, we can't see. But as we engage in these practices and disciplines, spiritual disciplines, they reveal the presence and the power of God to us so that he becomes increasingly real in our lives. His love, his personhood, his personality, his character, and his purpose for our lives. And it's not just a philosophy, but it's an encounter, and it's a daily experience, walking with Jesus. So we're going to continue with this series, and today we're going to look at spiritual gifts. Now, in the book of the Bible, I want to encourage you after this talk to go home and read 1 Corinthians in the Bible, 1 Corinthians in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, chapter 13, and chapter 14. And the Apostle Paul teaches the church and gives a significant amount of time, 3 chapters in that book, to spiritual gifts, because they're very important. Spiritual gifts are gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, last week, Jez taught and on the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit fills our lives and we are filled with him, he also comes to give us spiritual gifts. Now, these gifts aren't gifts like, oh, this is a particular gift I've got and it's mine. No, there are many spiritual gifts that we can encounter and receive and be used in by God at any given moment of time. Now, this is a very interesting passage of scripture here. The Apostle Paul says this: now to each one, a manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Now that word manifestation, it's a spiritual gift that God will give you, and I'll explain what they are in a moment, is a manifestation. A manifestation is a disclosure, a revealing, a making known. If something is manifest, it's something that is hidden or unseen, but is now made known. So, for example, you can see the wind manifested when it blows on the washing in the line in the garden. You can't see the wind, but when you see the washing move, it is a manifestation of the activity of the wind. It is disclosed, its presence is made known. We can't see God, but we can encounter him, and with this, the gifts of the Spirit are one of the ways in which he makes his presence, his heart, his purpose, his knowledge, his power, his goodness known in our experience. We see another word here, another phrase: the Spirit is given, the manifestation of the Spirit, or the gifts of the Spirit, spiritual gifts, are given for the common good. So they're not just for our individual benefit, they're for the benefit of everybody. So if I were to use a spiritual gift that God has given and made available, it's not just I get the joy and the privilege of using that gift and seeing the manifestation of God revealed in my life, but he becomes revealed in your life because it's for the common good. And the motivation for using a spiritual gift is so that everybody and others may encounter God and benefit from his goodness. I must not lean on that. Am I communicating? So let's have a brief look at what the spiritual gifts are, and they're wide. Now, I want to make this one other thing. Jesus used all these spiritual gifts. The spiritual gifts come through the power of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was baptized in water and he came up out of the water, we read in the account that the heavens were open and the Spirit descended upon Jesus like a dove, and he was clothed in the Holy Spirit. Up to that point in time, we have no record at all of Jesus performing any miracle or prophesying. But after the gifts, after the power of the Holy Spirit had clothed him and come upon him, just as Jez was talking about last week, he then went into the wilderness, and after he went into the wilderness, he engaged in his public ministry, and we see wisdom and knowledge and healings and miracles being performed by Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus is a tremendous example of what the the gifts of the Holy Spirit can look like. And not only he did it to bring the presence of God to people's lives through him, but also is an example of what a human being following Jesus can do. For he says, as the Father has sent me into the world, so I sent you. So these things are for you. And as we look at these spiritual gifts, you may recognize how Jesus operated them from time to time, but I want to encourage you that you can operate in these things as well. So here is a list of the spiritual gifts that the Apostle Paul gave. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. Now a message of wisdom is a portion of wisdom that is beyond your everyday normal ability. Everybody can gain wisdom through learning lessons and life's history, and we all have a measure of wisdom. But there are times in life when you go, do you know, I just don't know the answer to this, and this is a tricky one. And then the Holy Spirit, as you wait on God and prayer and open, he can give you a wisdom that is greater than your normal day-to-day portion, anything greater than the stuff that you've learnt. You remember the story of Jesus when they came up to Jesus to try and trick him, and they said, who should we pay taxes to, Caesar or not? And he knew that whichever answer he gave, he was going to be in big trouble. And he said, show me a coin. Whose head is it? And they said, oh, it's Caesar's head on the coin. He said, well, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God. And at that, they were silenced because the wisdom of that answer just left them dumbfounded that they couldn't attack him anymore. And that was a gift of wisdom in a very tricky situation. Then there's the message of knowledge. Knowledge is a piece of information that you don't know. Let me give you an example. Last night, I was speaking in a church in Bargoyd. And as I was praying, I sensed that there was somebody in the room who had a condition in their nose on their right side. And so it was from here, and it all went all the way down their cheek and to their jaw, and it was affecting their tooth. And I said, is anybody in here? And the man in the front row stood up. He said, yes, that's me. All week, I've just come back from hospital. I've had a pain in the right side of my nose from the bridge all going down, going right side of my jaw, and it's like a pain in my tooth as well. I don't know what it is, but it's been really uncomfortable and distracting on holiday. I stood up, we prayed a short prayer, and he immediately got relief of that suffering and pain and condition. Immediately. Now, I didn't know that he had that condition. Humanly, he didn't tell me, but God did, and God wanted to set him free from that. So in prayer, he revealed it. As we spoke it out, he said, oh, that's me, and he got healed. That's a word of knowledge. It can happen over areas of healing, or it can happen over areas of people's lives that are troubling them, and sometimes folk may come to you with a problem, and they say one thing, but that they think is the problem, and the Holy Spirit will show you a piece of information in their life which is the real issue, and as you pray about it together, they get set free and they can move on. It's a word of knowledge. It's stuff that God knows that you don't. Jesus operated like that all the time, didn't he? You've gone very quiet. A gift of faith. Now, we all have faith. But there are times when we need faith that is beyond the measure that we've learned to cultivate as we journey with Jesus over a course of time. I remember when we built this building, God called us to buy this building. Now, this building costs a lot of money to buy and refurbish. Actually, from start to finish, it cost £1.3 million. When God told us to buy this building, we didn't have that money. Where are you going to get that from? But when God called us to buy the building, he also gave us as a church a gift of faith, not just as individuals, but a gift of faith. So that in that period of time, there was a confidence and a belief that as we prayed and we gave and we served God, God would provide it. And so many people came up to me and said, you know, I really believe God's going to provide for this. And there was so much confidence and faith in this group of people that we knew God was going to provide. Where's that going to come from? But it did. See those chairs that you're sitting on? When I found out the price of how much those chairs cost and how the heck we were ever going to pay for them, I never knew. But we had a gift of faith that God would provide. And somebody, not even our city, not even part of our church, somebody from another city decided actually to pay for all these chairs that you're sitting on. And that was an expensive gift of £18,000. Yes, that's a lot of money. Look after those chairs. Now, if somebody said to me, we need £1.3 million as a church now to go and do XYZ, we'd go, We're not going to be able to do that. Why is that? Because we don't have a gift of faith for it. You see, God gives a gift of faith for a particular purpose that he wants to achieve for your life at a given moment in time. We had that faith for that moment in time. We don't have it for that amount now. But if he calls us to do something else, do you know what he will do? He will give us a gift of faith for it as well. Am I communicating? So it's a gift of faith. And there's gifts of healing and gifts of miraculous powers, gifts of prophecy. I'll talk about that in a minute. Gifts of distinguishing between spirits. What's that? To discern the source of something. Is this of God? Is this of me? Or is it of the world? Or is it of something demonic or evil? And you can know the source or the motive or the source of something as you are discerning what's going on in the world. It gives you discernment and insight. It's a little bit like wisdom, but you really know the good or the bad and the source behind it. Different kinds of tongues, I'll talk about that in a minute, and the interpretation of tongues, and I'll touch on that too. So you can see there are many gifts of the Holy Spirit. But the point I want to make as we move on quickly is that these are manifestations of God's presence. They make his presence and his goodness and his heart and his will known to us so that we can encounter God. It's more than information. No, it is a revealing of his presence and power as well. And the presence and power of God is made known, partly made known in our lives through the use of spiritual gifts. So I want to encourage you to desire spiritual gifts, not only for yourself, but also desire them because they are given for the common good. In other words, as you use them, everybody and every one of us benefits, and we all grow in getting to know God. Now, the gift of prophecy and the gift of speaking in tongues is something I just want to major on this morning. The gifts of the Holy Spirit is an exhaustive, exhaustive subject, and you can learn more about it if you go online and listen to our Power for Living series. It's a series that we did extensively on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and if you go online and download the Power for Living series, you'll really begin to have a full handle, grasp on these things. But the gift of tongues and prophecy I want to focus on particularly because they are associated with the filling of the Holy Spirit. They're one of the first gifts that we're invited to explore. If we look at the scriptures here, we go back. Oh, how did that happen? Okay. There you go. Listen to this passage of scripture. This was the first time that the early church was birthed, and they were in the upper room. There's 120 people, and the Holy Spirit came upon the church for the first time. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Do you see that? As the Holy Spirit came and they were filled with the Spirit, there was the speaking of tongues that was associated with it. Peter, in the second passage of Scripture, goes to a centurion's house called Cornelius. He was one of the first Gentiles, non-Jews, to receive Jesus, and it opened the world up, opened the Gentile world or the non-Jewish world to the gospel. When Peter was speaking, it says the Holy Spirit came and filled that Gentile, non-Jewish family. The circumcised believers, those are the Jews, who had come with Peter, were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues. Do you see how there was an association with the filling of the Spirit and speaking tongues again? You see that? And finally, it says, when Paul placed his hands upon them, this is a group of believers who believed in John, and John pointed to John's preaching pointed to the fact that Jesus was coming, and they believed in John that Jesus was coming. Paul and the others introduced them fully to Jesus, and then it says, when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. So we see when the Holy Spirit comes, often this is associated initially with the speaking of tongues and prophecy. You don't have to speak in tongues and prophesy to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but we see in the scripture that it is an association with it, because tongues and prophecy are a gateway gift. They're one of those gifts that are like open the door or the key to the other gifts. And they are one of the things that God invites us to engage in and explore initially. So I want to talk about these two gifts so you're clear how they operate, what they're for, so that you can actually begin to say, yes, Lord, I would like to be able to have the benefit of using those gifts, both for my own blessing and for the blessing of others. So let's look at tongues first of all. Well, what is tongues? Tongues basically is the ability to speak a spiritual language that you haven't learned. Paul puts it in the book of Corinthians, some speak in tongues of men and tongues of angels. So there may be, when the Holy Spirit comes, you can ask the Holy Spirit to give you the gift to speak in a spiritual language that you haven't learned. You haven't gone to school or you haven't learned. You actually don't know what it means when you're saying it because it comes from the spirit and it doesn't work in the area of the mind. It may be another language on earth. So a friend of mine, Marlene, who is a church planter in Belgium, was telling me that one day in Brussels, she was praying in a meeting and in tongues, in the spiritual language she never learned. And there was a lady standing next to her from Colombia and she could understand everything she was saying. So it must have been, I don't know, it's Portuguese or something, whatever they speak in Colombia. And she could understand everything she was saying. But sometimes it may be like an angelic or a heavenly language that is not derived from the earth, but it's a language of heaven. But nevertheless, the Holy Spirit gives and can give us the ability to speak in this unlearned language that is a response of our spirit. And it's a spiritual language of prayer and praise. Paul says again in the book of Corinthians, if I pray in my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. In other words, I'm not thinking about the words I'm saying. They're coming from within, and it's a spiritual language. If I sing in the spirit, I sing in the spirit, but my mind is unfruitful, or praise in the spirit, he calls it. So it's not doesn't revolve in the area of the mind. One way... All illustrations are limited and inadequate, but let me put it this way. There are emotions or expressions that we can have that come from our spirit, that come from our mind. For example, when you laugh, where does that come from? It doesn't come from here, really. You might hear something's funny, but it comes from deep, something tickles you deep within, and it's an expression of your spirit to something that you are moved and find, or crying. Have you found that you could listen to a piece of music and you want to cry, or it moves you? Have you discovered that? Have you discovered when you're leading worship that sometimes you feel moved emotionally? Because your spirit is moved towards God. And if you do cry, you might go, whatever it is. But what you're doing, you're expressing something verbally. There is a noise to it. There's an expression to it. But actually, the source of it is not really predominated in your thinking. It's your move deep in your emotions and deep in your spirit. Now, tongues is a little bit like this, where we're not actually thinking about what we're going to say here. No, it's a prayer language of deep love and expression or praise or gratitude or need towards God. And when we are in a situation, maybe, for example, you don't know what to pray about. And you say, you know, I don't have the words for this prayer. Or I'm too upset about right now. Or I'm confused right now, but I know I need God, and I know that person needs God. I don't know what to do. We can pray in tongues, because to pray in tongues is inspired by the Holy Spirit, and you are praying in the will of God. Now, I remember when I was in Bible college, I decided to dedicate 3 days to praying in tongues over a particular issue. So I took some time off, and we had a place called the Ark, and it basically was a dungeon. And you go down into this deep, dank cellar, and you'd lock the door, and it was like a prayer room. And I dedicated 3 days to praying in tongues. And I would go there in the morning, and I would stay there all day, and I would just pray in tongues. And I remember God giving me a vision. As I was praying one day, it was a vision of a globe. And on the globe, there was like a television mast. And right in the far end of the universe, there was this massive ear. Like a satellite dish, but it was an ear, a massive one. And I saw this picture of these signals being sent out throughout the universe to the farthest distance beyond the universe into this ear that was like a satellite dish, which represented the ear of God. And God was encouraging me that as you're praying in tongues, even though you don't understand what you're saying, you're praying in the will of God and he hears you. And the scriptures say, if we pray in the will of God and he hears us, we have our request. Because we are praying in the will of God and he hears us, and therefore he answers our prayer. So although we might know not in we don't know in detail the very nature of the things we're praying. We know that the Holy Spirit, who knows all things, knows that particular need of that person or that group. And as we pray in tongues, even though we don't really know how to pray, it goes into the heart of God, and he will answer their prayer for their good. So take the Syrian crisis, for example. I was speaking to Rachel about this yesterday. Take the Syrian crisis. It's complicated, isn't it? I don't know how to pray. I don't know all the political maneuverings, but I tell you what, there's 9 million displaced people in Syria, and it's midwinter, and they're stacking up on the borders of Europe. And I've been to Eastern Europe in winter, and the snow is that thick. And there's mothers and children, they don't have clothes, they don't have blankets, they don't have shelter, and it is absolutely desperate. Absolutely desperate. And something must be done. And I don't know how to fix it, and the governments don't know how to fix it, and nobody seems to know how to fix it. But one thing we can do, I say, I don't even know how to pray. I don't even know how to sort it. But one thing I can do, I can lift those people up to God in prayer and pray in tongues. And I know the Holy Spirit, who knows the solution and knows their need and has great compassion, can reach the heart of God and move something from heaven that will sort this problem out at the end of the day. That's an example of praying in tongues on a big scale. But you might have something in your own life, or somebody else's life, and you don't know how to pray, but you can pray in tongues, and it is a gift from God. What a wonderful gift of prayer, because we are so broken and we're so confused that we don't know how to pray and get it right all the time. So there's a gift that we can actually receive from the Father through the Spirit, which is a manifestation of his goodness and presence in our lives. Or we can praise in the Spirit. Have you ever been praying and worshiping God, and thank you, Jesus, doesn't seem quite adequate because he is so awesome and oh, great. So, well, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You're amazing. You're great. And there's so much in us at a given moment of time that I just feel like I'm bursting or something. I just need a release, but we don't know how to do it. Well, we can praise in tongues. It might be in the form of just praying it out, or it could be singing, and it is a release that sets you free and pleases the heart of God and attracts heaven into your experience. So the gift of tongues is a wonderful gift, and Paul says in the book of Corinthians, it's for your personal strength. He who prays in tongues strengthens himself. It gives you power in your spirit. Often before I'm about to preach, I will pray in tongues. If I need to prophesy or get a word of knowledge or hear from God, I'll pray in tongues. If I need a release of power, I pray in tongues, because praying in tongues is charging your spirit. You see, people aren't moved with clever words. They're not moved with the mind. They're moved with the power of the Spirit that invested in his words. That's where power comes. That's where transformation comes. I can't put faith in your heart and set you free with my words, with my preaching. Learning doesn't do it, and knowing the Bible doesn't. It's not that. It's the investment of God's power through the words. But where does that power come from? It comes from him. And when I preach, or when any preacher preaches, I need the power of God to be invested in those words. That opens your heart. You understand it. You get the revelation. Faith is put in you. You're inspired to move by God. That doesn't happen. And I know I need God. So I pray, oh Lord, fill my spirit with your power, that when we preach and when we teach, your spirit may be invested in it. And there we are, praying in tongues. Help me. I was doing it this morning. Help me, Lord. May there be power in the presentation of your word that will move people's spirit. And so praying in tongues will strengthen our spirit, but not just for ministry, but for everyday life. If you're depressed, if you're struggling, if you're anxious, if you're struggling in your faith, he who prays in tongues strengthens himself. Have you ever been struggling in your faith where you know God wants to do something, but you're just doubting and you feel weak in faith and you can't muster it up? But praying in tongues will strengthen your spirit, that your spirit will overcome despite the doubts, despite the circumstances, but despite the difficulties and despite your weakness. Your spirit will overcome, and the power of the Spirit will rise up within you that you may be an overcomer. How do you get that power? Well, speaking in tongues strengthens you with mighty power in the Holy Spirit. And I want to encourage you to explore it. It's a gift. So it's a gift to be received. It's a gift of faith to be exercised. Yes, all the gifts of the Spirit are something that we have to step out in the boat in. And it's a bit scary. I remember when I first got prayed for to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the lady and gentleman who were praying for me said, we're going to pray for the Holy Spirit to fill you. And I want to encourage you to speak out in tongues. I said, what? Oh, this I wasn't expecting. Really? And it's scary. Well, not it doesn't need to be scary, but we feel a little bit self-conscious sometimes. And we say, well, I don't know. What if it's me? What if I'm making it up? What if nothing happens? What if I look stupid? What if it sounds silly? What if nothing happens? You know. And you've just got to overcome it. You know, like Peter's in the boat, and he says, if that's you, Lord, come. He says, oh, really? I didn't really expect you to say that. I thought you said, well, stay there, Pete. I'll come to you, boy. He says, no, you really? Oh, all of the waves. Oh, look, it's rocky. Oh, what will the other 11 guys think if I fall in the water? They'll be ridiculing me till, you know, oh, no, I'll be full of, really? But what did he do? He stepped out of the boat, and he took a few stumbling steps. He actually took 3 steps, 4 steps, 5 steps. Then he looked at the wave and began to sink. But at least he walked a few steps. He began to learn. And this is what it's like with any spiritual gift. It's a spiritual gift that we need to learn to develop. So we say, Holy Spirit, will you give me the gift of tongues? And in a place of praise or worship and prayer, I'm going to make an effort to speak from my heart in a language that I haven't learned. And I'm going to move my tongue. I'm going to move my mouth. I'm going to exercise my vocal cords. I'm going to exert and air from my lungs just as I normally would speak, because it says they spoke in tongues as you enabled them. They did. I must speak, but you will enable me as I do it. So it's giving it a go. And I just want this session to be a mind opener, an eye opener to you, to actually say there's more, just like Matthew prophesied, there's more for you. And for some, this might be, oh, you might speak in tongues this morning. You might, when you go home, you might come for prayer another time. You might go on a journey of exploration. You might go, at some point in my spiritual journey, I want to be able to step out in faith and experience this wonderful gift. And when people use the gift of tongues in public use as an individual, if somebody individually were to stand up, we don't tend to have that in our Sunday morning meetings, but if they did, it would be accomplished by the gift of interpretation. But generally, in your private use, and if we're all worshiping in tongues together in an act of worship or something of that nature, it doesn't need an interpretation. It's only if there's an individual declaration where you think, well, what was all that? Well, has anybody got the interpretation? Yeah. So moving on, there's the gift of prophecy. Now, the gift of prophecy is to reveal God's heart and intent for a person or a group. It's when the Holy Spirit shows you something of God's heart and God's desire for a group or an individual. It can come through preaching. Sometimes, you know, when we are preaching and teaching, there might be an aspect that we lean into because we're sensing it in the Holy Spirit. And I don't know what's going on in your life, but time and time again, somebody goes, you know, I was the only person in the room when you said that. And it's just for you. So it could come through preaching. But often it will come through prayer. As you're praying for somebody, or as you're praying, God may speak to you for somebody's individual circumstance or for a group. Prophecy, again, is for strengthening and encouraging and comforting. Now, there's a difference between Old Testament prophecy and New Testament prophecy, very quickly. In the Old Testament, when the Old Testament prophesied, they said, thus saith the Lord, this is going to happen, and it always happened. In the New Testament prophecy, it's not such a declaration of what God is going to sovereignly do, but it's a revealing of his desire and his intent for you. And as we walk with Jesus and cooperate with him, that desire, intent, we can be assured will come to pass as we collaborate and cooperate with him. So it's not like this is thus in the Old Testament, it goes, thus saith the sovereign Lord, and he would prophesy something. The prophet would prophesy, and it would definitely come to pass. This is not in that same way. It's more like a seed of God's love and desire and intent to encourage you, that as we water it with prayer and obedience and faithfulness and walking with God, that seed flourishes into a blessing and the purpose of God for our lives. If I communicated that point. But it's for your strengthening and your encouraging and for your comfort. It's not for rebuking and scolding and criticizing. It's for blessing and encouraging and revealing to you the good and wonderful heart of God for your life. So Let me give you another example. When we were looking at buying this building, we knew we needed a new building, but we didn't know if this was the right building. And we knew it would be a big shift for us as a church who'd been working in Penland for 20-odd years to take on this. And we knew that it would be a big financial challenge. And we just really needed to hear whether it was the right thing from God or not. So I saw the building. And I decided to invite a prophet over from America who prophesies. And the only people who knew that we were considering this building were the leadership. The church, the congregation didn't know at this time, and we didn't make a decision to buy it. We just wanted to know if we heard from the Lord. So I got a prophet over and flew him over from America, and I told him nothing, and none of the leadership said anything. I said to the leadership, you tell that man that we're thinking about buying a building, we'll break your kneecaps, which is Hebrew for says we won't be very happy. Okay. Anyway. So here we are. He comes over, he knows nothing. And we have a series of meetings. In the last meeting, and many of you will remember this, he said, I just got to say this. And it's on tape or DVD. We've been working hard and long in this area. That's talking where in Penland. But God has got another place for you. Now I'm interested. Now he's been with us loads and loads of times, and he'd never talked of... he mentioned that there might be something in the future at different times, but now he's getting really specific. He says, God's got another place for you. And he says this, I can see a massive car park. Oh, I'm thinking, this place has got a massive car park. I can see glass. He says, I can see a lot of glass. And because it was a shop window, you know, they had a lot of glass at the front. He said, this place has got a lot of glass. When I looked at this building, first of all, the first thing that went through my mind is two things. One, I think we can put two stories in it, another story in it, and we do at the back. And also, we can turn the front into the cafe. And I think we could have a cafe, and we could have two stories. He says, I can see a lot of car, I can see a big car park, I can see a lot of glass, I can see two stories, and I can see people thinking they're going shopping, because this was an oldies, this was a shopping center, thinking they're going shopping and turning up at the Cornerstone Cafe. Isn't that amazing? He'd never seen this place. This place is a former shopping place. We're looking at turning it into a cafe, looking at putting two stories in, big car park and glass. And then he says, and Cornerstone Church, don't say it's too big for you. Because we're only a little church then. Don't say it's too big for you. Don't say you don't need it. And don't say you can't afford it. I am Jehovah Jireh, which is a Hebrew word for God will provide. I'm Jehovah Jireh. Look at me and I'll provide. And he just described the building, our fears and anxieties over buying it, you know, certainly mine, and spoke right into it for our strength and encouragement and comfort to go and do this thing. Isn't that awesome? So that's how this thing came to pass. And then as we were negotiating for the building, we went through a very difficult time where we're getting hold-ups, and the vendors and the people who are selling it weren't playing ball, and it was getting really frustrated and taking much longer to get to the place where we wanted to be for where we were going to buy it. And then another prophet friend who I hadn't seen for 5 or so years emailed me from Florida, and he said, Julian, I had a dream about you. I had a dream the other night. And he says, there was a man in a train going on a journey trying to get to a destination, but it was taking so long that he was getting really frustrated, but he managed to get there in the end. The end destination was Neath. He said, I've never heard of Neath. I don't know where Neath is. He looked it up, Googled it, I presume. I found out it was near Swansea. You're the only person I know near there, so I'm telling you about this dream. This was in the middle of a very frustrating time when we weren't making any progress. And we thought, are we ever going to buy this thing? That road there is Neath Road. Yes. Isn't that amazing? Neath Road. Well, I'm impressed by that. And God came to speak in this situation where we could have so easily given up for our strength and encouragement and comfort to keep going. So this is how prophecy works. That's in the context of a group. But it was also for me personally. But in your small group, when people are praying for you, somebody may have a prophecy for you personally, and it speaks right into your situation, right into your challenge that they don't know anything about. And it brings strength and comfort and encouragement for you to keep going. What a wonderful gift that is. And God will use the gift of prophecy. Now, we can hear from God in many different ways. But generally, prophecy is given through the intuition of the Spirit, where you begin to, one, you begin to sense it in your heart and in your spirit. Or secondly, through a vision. You're praying, and for some reason, a picture or a vision that is packed with symbolism for that group or individual or your, comes to mind, and you know exactly what it means. And it, and they go, you know, you describe something, and it's very relevant to the individual or to you, and you know what it means. And it can be in a form of a vision. Or as you're reading scripture, something in the scripture will stand out, and immediately somebody comes to mind, and you share that scripture with them, and it's like prophecy to their heart. And it speaks right into their situation. They go, thank you, God, it's a scripture from you. But you didn't know how meaningful that is, and that's I've heard from God through that. Or even a dream. And there's many times when you can, God will give a dream and you wake up in the morning and you know it's not cheese and it's not pizza and it's not, you know it's not the anxieties of the day, but it's a divine clear dream. And you wake up and go, oh, I know that was a dream of a different order and it's packed with symbolism and you know what it's for and what it means and who it is. Now, obviously, we have to be accountable and explain this carefully, and because prophecy is very powerful. So that's why I want you to encourage you to learn about it so you know how to use it correctly. But what I'd like to say is that the gift of tongues and the gift of prophecies, these are gateway gifts that often open us up to all the other gifts as well. And they're wonderful, and I want to say this, they're for every one of you. You can actually learn to explore these gifts because the gifts of the Spirit and the gift of the Holy Spirit is for everyone. So, in closing, how can we respond to the fact that there are such things as gifts, spiritual gifts, and they make God known and real to us alongside other things like prayer and Bible study and worship? How can we respond? First of all, Paul says, now about the spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be uninformed. So what I have done this morning, I've sought to inform you a little, not a great deal, you know, in 30, 40 minutes, a little about the nature of spiritual gifts to whet your appetite. But Paul says, I don't want you to be uninformed. I don't want you to be ignorant. So the first thing I want to challenge you and invite you to do is to set your course on a learning track to learn about the spiritual gifts. We have a DVD series called Life in the Spirit, and we have a Talks Online series called Power for Living. And there's many great books that you can get, but I would encourage you to do the DVD or the go online and begin to learn so that you may understand and your faith and appetite for spiritual gifts may grow, that your heart may position, that he may drop one of these gifts into your life at any given moment in time. Secondly, desire them. Follow the way of love. That's the way the gifts are always to operate. Not selfishly or in a proud way, but to love and bless. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. That's what Paul says, eagerly desire. So you are invited by the Holy Spirit who inspired the scriptures to eagerly desire spiritual gifts. God wants you to operate in spiritual gifts. He wants you to use them and be blessed by them and bless others. And thirdly, ask. How much more will the Father in heaven give the good gifts to those who ask him? And he's speaking in the context of the Holy Spirit there and all the Holy Spirit wants to bring us, such as spiritual gifts. How much more will the Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? That speaks of two things. One, the Father wants to give them to you. Secondly, he will give them to you. Thirdly, we have to ask. And it's in the context of seek, knock, and continue to ask. It's continually ask. So we're continually seeking. If I had a word of knowledge for healing last night, it doesn't mean I'm going to get one this morning, but I'll ask. I have to ask. For example, I was asking. And there's somebody here, I believe, who's actually got a problem with their left ear. It might be an infection or an irritation. It might be now or it might be something that keeps reoccurring. But I sense the Lord showed me that there's somebody here with an ear condition. And if you come to come for prayer at the end. I'll be very glad to pray for you that God will deal with that situation. So whether irritation or pain or problem in the left ear doesn't continue to be a hindrance to your everyday living. Who is that person? Is anybody here with that? Zeno. There you go. How long have you had that?
January.
It's ongoing, is it? Yeah. For the sake of time, come for prayer at the end. Okay. So just because I had a word of knowledge for healing last night, how did I get that word of knowledge today? Do you know how I got it today? I was sitting there asking, Lord, is there anybody here that you want to reveal has got a condition for healing? And I immediately felt and sensed something for the left ear. Why? Because I asked. But why did I ask? Because I desired it. Why did I desire it? Because I want people to be blessed. But how did I know to desire? Because I've done some learning and how God operates. So, church, let's really grow in the reality of God's power and presence. Learn, desire, ask, step out in faith, and we will become a church that is increasingly knowing the presence and the power of God. It's for you. And let this be the first day of a learning journey for many of you. Let's stand together. I'm going to invite the Holy Spirit now to come to you again. And I'm going to ask him to begin to deposit faith and the seeds of faith and the gifts of the Spirit in you. And so from this place, you can begin to add a new dimension for many of you for the first time into your spiritual relationship. So as I'm praying, just say, Holy Spirit, if you've got gifts for me, give them to me. And if you desire, oh, I'd love to prophesy. Oh, let me prophesy. If you say, oh, I'd like to speak in tongues, will you give me that gift and teach me and bring me to a place that one day I will exercise it, whether it's today or tomorrow or next week? You do that. Or if you want a word of knowledge or the gift of healing, you ask him. And in the course of time, you will discover to be used in these things from time to time. Holy Spirit, come now, I pray. As I just began to pray, I saw a picture of you and us as sheep. And the good shepherd leading the sheep into green pastures and fresh food. And the Lord wants you to know that he has fresh food for you, not stale food, fresh food, not regurgitated food, fresh food. And the spiritual gifts is a part of the fresh food for you that will replenish you and strengthen you and will cause you to have great joy and pleasure, increasingly so, in your walk with Christ. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray now that you will come to each and every one and begin to deposit faith and gifts of the Spirit upon and each individual here who are asking and seeking, those who want to prophesy and speak in tongues, those who desire to move in healing, those who desire more wisdom and knowledge, those who are hungry and just hungry for you and for whatever you got for them. I pray that you will lead them and guide them. And I ask you will now begin to open their hearts up and my heart, that over the coming days and weeks and months, we may increasingly be a church that is flowing and used and blessed and released in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that we may have a greater manifestation of your love and goodness, not just for us, but to all we come in contact with. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.